Good morning, beautiful people. Welcome to my channel, which focuses on Vedic astrology study from the perspective of your soul path, career and relationships. These are the focus areas of this channel. If you're new to my channel, please consider sharing the content with your fellow astrology enthusiasts, leaving your comments below in case you need to share anything interesting you found in your chart, etc. If you are my listener on the podcast directories like Spotify, Apple, Podcast Addict, Pandora and so on, welcome. Also, you might want to visit my YouTube channel, take screenshots of the chart displayed there so you can study alongside the chart, natal, navamsha, D10 and so on and so forth. Also, for those listening on the podcast directory, you might want to take advantage of the Vedic Astrology Beginners course, which is available in the memberships area as a playlist on my channel. YouTube link is in the description box. You might want to visit that and take advantage of that. That is not being covered on the podcast directory. If you need a personal reading, do get in touch with me on the email, both on the podcast directory as well as on YouTube channel. We can explore what's going on in your life and what you need some assistance or clarity with. You see, the entire purpose, as I see it, of Jyotish and Vedic astrology is to get clarity in your mind about what's going on in different areas of your life, what your soul path is driving you towards in this lifetime, and where you can put yourself, apply yourself to the best possible outcomes, be it in any area of life. We all have different areas of life. Primarily, I focus on soul path, your life path, profession, career, job, business, etc., as well as intimate relationships. And all the podcasts here cover pretty much personality, relationships and career as the determinants of how you want to engage with the rest of the world. We all are born in some way, some form in different societies. The whole idea is to best put yourself at use where you are happy doing what you're doing, you're content doing what you're doing, and you feel your life has a meaning and a purpose somewhere. We are just trying to unlock that using the tools of Vedic astrology. Now that we have finished studying the Amatya Karaka in different Navamsha, the 12 of them, let us do some career case studies for Amatya Karaka, because unless we do some case studies, unless we implement and study the Amatya Karaka from the perspective of charts, actual charts or virtual charts, we won't know how it is applied or what it really means, isn't it? It's like trying to understand physics without applying it in a lab. You have to test this out on charts. So as much charts as you can get your hands on, practice these principles. If you have queries, you can leave it as comments in the comment box. But please take time to understand these principles first. All the series on Amatya Karaka and in Navamsha playlist, uncover all of that first. Study the basic principles and then come to this career case studies. Right, let's get into it. What are the six principles or six aspects I have taken into consideration in career case studies of Amatya Karaka? Number one, we are going to study Amatya Karaka in D1 and D9 charts. Both, that is to say, your natal as well as your Navamsha chart, we shall study how the position of Amatya Karaka goes. Number two, we shall study the relations to the Atma Karaka in both, your soul significator, yourself, Atma Karaka. And podcasts are already covered on Atma Karaka, you might want to go through that. What is your soul relationship with your profession? Is it helping? Is there someone helping in your profession? Atma Karaka and Amatya Karaka relationship in both D1 and D9 also we shall cover. Number three, the placement in houses and signs in both natal as well as Navamsha charts. That will also be covered. Because where the houses are playing in the natal and where it moves to in Navamsha is significant, isn't it? And also the sign, because the qualities of the sign carries to both Atma Karaka and Amatya Karaka. Number four, types, progress, challenges and successes in career, because we are focusing in these career case studies only. So we will deal with focal point as Amadhya Karaka, and we will study Atma Karaka with respect to Amadhya Karaka. All right. Number 5, we will also try to borrow some hints from nakshatra placement of Amadhya Karaka in the natal chart, because that's the physical manifestation. Yes, I already spoke of this. You might want to go through previous ones. Natal chart is your physical manifestation of reality. Navamsha is your internal self and all things going forward in your life. Essentially, when a soul is born, the way we apply Vedic astrology is from birth till the time you're 30 years old, till the time Saturn matures in a chart. What happens is you are acting more like only the physical manifestation, because you are pretty much in the hands of others. After 30 years, really it matures, and then the aspects of Navamsha kick in. So Navamsha literally is going forward in your life, the fortunes of your life. Yeah, this is the way also it is interpreted. So we shall try to borrow some nakshatra placement of Amadhya Karaka in the natal chart also. Now, nakshatras are already covered extensively in the 27 nakshatras of Vedic astrology playlist. Number 6, and very important point, I needed some charts to study here as a part of this exercise. And so what I have done is I have considered case studies. This entire case studies is for Gen Z, just like I did for Nakshatra Pada. Gen Z meaning 1998 onwards, who are born from 1998 onwards. Yes, you can Google it if you want. All case studies are of Gen Z kids. Names are all virtual, really. I have just stuck in virtual names. Names don't mean anything. They are random charts of Gen Z generation, starting from the year 2000 for Amadhya Karaka. Let us begin. Before we begin the actual case studies, it is important for you to remember some rules in the Jaimini system of evaluation in astrology, which is very different to the Parashara system. Jaimini, first of all, focuses on Rashi Drishti, that means the sign aspects. Which sign is aspecting which sign? Aries is aspecting Leo, for example, like that. The sign aspects, these are not planetary aspects, which sign aspects it? So let's go through these 8 rules listed there on the screen. Number 1, Rashi Drishti. Every movable sign aspects all fixed signs except the one right next to it. Keep this rule book in your thing. You can take screenshots if you wish. Every fixed sign aspects all movable signs except the one right next to it. So, movable aspects fixed except the one next to it. Fixed aspects all movable except the one next to it. Every dual sign aspects all other dual signs only. Okay. Then there is the Graha Drishti, that is a planetary vision. The planetary vision says Jaimini primarily uses Rashi Drishti, but planets inherit the aspect of the sign they sit in. So planets sitting in movable sign will aspect all other planets which are in fixed signs except the one next to it. Apply the same principle to all the first three rules. So planets essentially sitting in movable, fixed or dual sign, because Jaimini is based only on sign astrology, not so much on planets. Planets will automatically inherit everything about the sign. This applies to all planets, including Rahu and Ketu. So as we shall see going further into the case studies, you will see that sometimes or many times in a chart, Rahu and Ketu both end up aspecting a particular planet. Because even though Rahu and Ketu are on opposite sides of every chart, but based on this kind of an analysis, based on Rashi Drishti, they both might end up aspecting a planet, and we shall see that in case studies. Some special considerations to see. Point number 6, Jaimini focuses on sign to sign influence, not degrees. Even if planets are far apart within the Rashi, they still aspect through Rashi Drishti. The same thing which I spoke of earlier. The only thing angles or degrees is considered is from Atma Karaka to Dhara Karaka. The 7 Karakas is based on angle. what is your Atmakaraka, what is your Amadhyakaraka, what is your Bhratrikaraka, and so on. That considers the angle, but the sign-to-sign influence is very dominant here. Even if one is sitting in 12th house and one is sitting in 3rd house, for example, if the signs are influencing, the planets in those signs also are influencing one another. See, all this gets very complex unless we do some case studies, isn't it? So we shall do that from now on. 7th point, unlike the Parashari system, Gemini does not use special aspects like Saturn's 3rd or 10th position or Jupiter's 5th or 9th position. Those are Parashara rules. Gemini system does not use these rules of aspecting. It only considers sign aspect and planets therefore placed in those signs. Aspects, last rule, number 8, aspects are applied heavily in Charadasha analysis. If you want to do your predictive analysis, they interpret again based on this sign and interpreting the Karaka planets, Amartya Karaka, Atma Karaka, and so on, all the 7 Karakas of Gemini. So we shall do analysis this way going forward. Let us begin. Now let us take up the career case study for Gabriel. This girl is a Gen Z girl, born in the year 2000. So if she exists, Gabriel is now 25 years old something. Okay, it's right time for priming up the career, so to speak. Right, so that's her natal chart on the screen. Highlighted houses are the aspecting houses to Amartya Karaka. What is Amartya Karaka? First of all, in her chart, it's Jupiter, as you can see. The second highest degree, her Atmakaraka is Sun. Like we said, we will take aspects of both Amartyakaraka and Atmakaraka to know the relationship between how the soul progresses in the career. First, Jupiter is Amartyakaraka. What is a core professional drive? Nature of Jupiter, as we saw in the earlier podcast. Jupiter as Amartyakaraka is more geared towards consultancy, knowledge distribution, guidance, expansion of knowledge in any form or learning, ethical compass, ethical guidance of institutions, law, legal and judiciary systems, higher education of all kinds, even banking, finance and law, okay, banking institutions. So professional orientation is typically of teachers, advisors, consultants, mentors, even spiritual guides if spirituality is indicated. They may be institutional workers in law, judiciary, banking, academia and government. That's the drive of Jupiter as Amartyakaraka. The attitude is wise, benevolent, principled, growth-oriented, focused on long-term influence. Jupiter, wherever it sits as Amartyakaraka, it is interested in something long-term. It is not interested in short-term pursuits. First, understanding the nature of Amartyakaraka is important while doing case studies, okay? So Jupiter being Amartyakaraka, think consultancy, think advisors, think financial consultants in this case. So let us see her D1 chart. This is the D1 chart on the screen. House placement of Amartyakaraka is in 8th house within the sign of Taurus. Like I said in the principles, in the Gemini system, the sign is more important as well as the placement of the planet, whatever the Karaka is. In this case, Amartyakaraka is placed in the 8th house. So think first of all, 8th house means other people's wealth, right? One of the things it stands for is other people's wealth, wealth management for other people, insurance and banking, for example. House placement is 8th house Taurus. What does this give us? Emphasis on transformation, research. 8th house is a good house for research. Crisis handling of any kind, because 8th house is a house of transformations. So any kind of crisis in finance, they will be good at. Because it's the house of Taurus. Taurus is the house of resources, shared wealth, doing consultancy in managing the finances of others. So Jupiter will give a depth of knowledge there. Careers would be linked to finance, investments, even psychology and investigation of kinds. Remember, 8th house matters. Insurance, financial insurance comes from 8th house. Laws of inheritance, because Jupiter stands for law. or even occult sciences. The sign influences Taurus, brings material stability, financial focus and value-driven orientation. And here's what I take ideas from, even Parashara system. Jupiter is sitting in Rohini in Taurus, so it's all geared towards the resources more than occult, even though it is sitting in 8th house. 8th house matters also concern wealth of others. So this is what I feel Jupiter will do here. If you have any other thoughts, leave in comments. You can also analyze alongside me. The sign influence brings material stability. Taurus brings everything gathered to resource. And I have covered this in Taurus Navamsha. Okay? Planets in Taurus Navamsha, Amartya Karaka in Taurus. But that's for Navamsha. But we are talking about natal here. Natal has equally similar influence. Taurus is focused on financial focus here. Other people's finance, managing it, doing some consultancy related to finance management of other people. Value-driven orientation, that can also have Taurian influence. Adds an interest in wealth management. There you go. Luxury and structured material growth. As it is conjunct with Saturn, which is a Dharakaraka. Remember, Dharakaraka is not just spouses. Dharakaraka is also other people. How you work with other people. Saturn is a Karaka of work. Dharakaraka means almost like 7th house, which also stands for working with others. This individual, since the Amartya Karaka is conjunct Dharakaraka, they might be working with others a lot. Like I said, wealth management for other people. You need to work with others. Saturn adds responsibility, structure and gradual process. Saturn is a slow planet. Combination of Jupiter and Saturn in the demon chart emphasizes a career in law, policy making, senior advisory, management consulting and institutional authority. This is a good combination for wealth management or in banking industry, for example. Career growth is steady because Saturn is there. It may be delayed, eventually leading to seniority and respect. Just aside here, let's see the Gemini aspects on this. That makes it interesting. So Gemini aspect says, any planet sitting in a fixed sign is aspected by movable signs other than the one next to it. What is next movable sign to Taurus? Aries. So it is not affected by planets sitting in Aries. And there's nothing there anyway. It is affected by two other movable signs, Capricorn and Cancer, which are the 4th and the 10th house in this case. And there is the whole stellium of planets in the 10th house, Sun, Mars, Mercury, Rahu. And 10th house being of career, that all these bunch of planets are affecting the Amartya Karaka. So in one interpretation, you may say Sun as father will be supporting this girl in her career. Mars as brother, if she has brothers, will be supporting her in her career. Mercury as a neighbor, as a friend, might be supporting her in the career. Also, if you see Ketu from the 4th house in Capricorn is also aspecting it. You see, this is where Gemini system differs hugely from the Parashara system. In Gemini system, Rahu and Ketu both cannot influence a planet in a particular chart. Whereas in Gemini, it is directly influencing. Parashara system, it cannot. Not in the natal chart anyway. Ketu from the 4th and Rahu from the 10th, both are aspecting Jupiter as Amartya Karaka. Is there a possibility of occult? Because wherever Rahu Ketu starts aspecting the 8th house, there is an interest in occult, for sure. Or even the 12th house, more of 8th house. 8th house is of occult and mysticism. But there is Jupiter in Rohini, so I have my doubts whether this girl might do anything with it. My interest will certainly be there in occult, because 8th lord is sitting in the house of Leo. But whenever there is a connection between 8th house and 5th house, or the 11th house, Aquarius, or the sign of Leo or Sun, there will be interest in occult. Okay. Not necessarily they will do in something with it. Interest is just interest, right? Now let us look at Navamsha and see what happens there. Now we come to the Navamsha. You can see on your screen the D9 on Navamsha chart of Gabriel. And let's see where the Amatya Karaka is placed there. Jupiter, her Amatya Karaka in Navamsha, is placed in the 4th house. So from the 8th house in Natal, it has traveled to the 4th house in Navamsha. Her career determinant planet, Jupiter, right? So what does this provide her? Anything to do with local masses, first 4th house. The Aries influence in her Navamsha gives bold initiatives, bold kind of leadership, pioneering energy and decisiveness. Some broad points there. 4th house influence gives education, property, homeland, community service and emotional fulfillment through work. Amatya Karaka, if it is placed in 4th house, it has something to do with the local community here. If there is Rahu aspect, which there is none because Rahu is in her 7th house, it can be foreign lands also. But in this case, she will be working with local community. What are the aspects of on this Jupiter of other Karakas? So this is a movable sign, Aries. It is aspected by fixed signs and planets there, except for the one next to it. That's the Gemini rules. Let's follow Gemini rules here. So fixed sign next to it is Taurus, so no affectation there. But it is affected by Aquarius and Leo. Now there is Saturn sitting in Aquarius in the 2nd house and Moon sitting in Leo in the 8th house. Once again, the 2nd and 8th houses are concerned more with wealth. 2nd house is your own earning and 8th house is other people's wealth. See, once again, there is a highlight of other people's wealth. So what can you summarize here? She will be mainly doing something as an initiator. Aries is a lot of initiator energy, working in wealth management of people, because Saturn from 2nd and Moon from 8th are aspecting Jupiter as per Gemini rules. And Moon is also the Gnati Karaka, that means daily work and routines. People just consider Gnati Karaka as an enemy. Yes, Moon is the Gnati Karaka, so there might be some objections from her mother or oppositions from her mother, because Moon is a Karaka of mother. That might happen. Also, Saturn is aspecting from 11th sign of Aquarius in the 2nd house. 2nd house is for earning. So there will be, with Saturn and Jupiter, Saturn in 2nd, Jupiter in 4th, and considering natal chart, you might say she will gradually rise up in life, in wealth management, something to do with finance and banking, and developing new rules and procedures. Jupiter in Aries, new, everything new. There might be a little bit of distractions of the 5 senses. I've covered this in Navamsha Amatya Karaka series. So you might revisit what the Aries energy will provide to her in her career. You might leave your comments here if you find something else also, something additional. Also, Moon from the 8th house means the mind is interested in managing other people's wealth. If you take a hint from the Parashara system, Moon is in Purva Falguni, in Leo, in the 8th house, in the house of managing other people's money. Mind is there. Moon also stands for the mind. And it is being supported by Saturn and Jupiter here, okay? So Jupiter is being aspected by this Moon, by aspected by Saturn. Both the houses themselves are concerned with wealth and wealth management. So there is a dominant theme of wealth management for this girl as a career path. If you look at the relationship between her Atma Karaka and Jupiter, Atma Karaka is in the 1st house. And 4th from it is Jupiter. Although there is no direct influence, it is supportive in the background. Strong self-expression and leadership is there. Sun is conjunct Ketu, so there is a kind of detachment from work sitting in Capricorn in the 1st house. Any person having Capricorn ascendant in D9 tends to become quite a bit of workaholic. But there is detachment because Sun is conjunct Ketu in the first. And yet, there is a higher resolution at work because Jupiter is being aspected by both Saturn and Moon. So this girl, my guess, is best serving the public in terms of finance management, in terms of initiating new laws, rules, policies and such. Now let us give a conclusion to this. Now let's conclude the case study for Gabriel. On the screen are all the possible conclusions, and on the right side of the screen there is natal and navamsha as well, just for your reference so you can study this more. So what could be the challenges, what are the success indicators, and what is the final synthesis for Gabriel? Challenges being, if you see the natal chart there, Saturn and Jupiter in the 8th house, Amatyakaraka conjunct Saturn in the 8th house. 8th house is also the place for instability, sudden changes and a need for adaptability in career. This is one of the things highlighted. There is some need of stability in this particular placement of any planet, 8th house in natal. Saturn conjunction delays, gives slower rise, giving the person the patience and the endurance, slow growth through life. That's another aspect. Taurus influence gives all kinds of material attachment, resource management of other people as a career path. There might be emotional turbulence from navamsha placements. Intense crisis may affect decision making, especially considering Jupiter is aspected by Moon from the 8th. The mind can get a little unstable. Jupiter wants quick results in Aries navamsha. Everything in Aries is very fast moving, yes? There might be a lot of distraction of the five senses. Remember Aries navamsha. And so there might be that aspect playing in. Success indicators are the strong 10th house. Remember, a natal chart had Mars, Sun, Rahu and Mercury. All are determinant achievements. This girl wants a prominent placement in career. She wants name, fame, popularity. Very strong communication skills she has. And she has a Mars and Sun together in the 10th house. Very strong 10th house. This ensures for her, even though she might have a little bit of struggles here and there, she will get a good prominence and public position, name and fame in her career. Because that aspecting, four planets aspecting from the 10th house to her, Amatyakaraka indicates this. All of these four, as we saw in the natal part, from the 10th house, all planets in Cancer are aspecting Jupiter in the 8th house. Therefore, there might be name and fame later in career. Saturn slows it down, so there'll be slow and steady growth in career. Jupiter as Amatyakaraka conjunct Saturn grants seniority, policy-making power and long-lasting credibility. Name and fame, she might even work for government, I would think, because Sun in the 10th house provides governance. Maybe working for government sectors, in banking and in insurance institutions, making new policies. I'm just going along with intuition here. Navamsha alignment of Sun and Amatyakaraka, because Sun and Amatyakaraka are placed fourth position. Any planets placed in Kendra or Trikona position between Atmakaraka and Amatyakaraka. In her case, Sun is Atmakaraka, Jupiter is Amatyakaraka. So there is a 4-10 relationship. There is a Kendra relationship, which is good. Even 1-5-9 is good. There is no enmity between what your soul desires and what her career desires. There is a support there. A silent support, you might say. So in the final analysis, her likely professions could be law, judiciary, legal advisor, policy strategist for the government, Sun and Mars in the 10th house. Finance and banking investment like we saw earlier. Education and academia, I would put it at lesser here. See, there might be always a number of career combinations. One of the career likely professions will shine. That's why this analysis helps you. Because you might have a dozen careers for each particular planet and placement, depending on house and the type of planet. But it depends upon what is the dominant energy shining in Natal and Navamsha. In her case, it's finance management in large institutions of government, not necessarily NGOs or public service, as is written there. Not necessarily even real estate, although fourth house is there in Navamsha influence. That's the consideration here. What is the trajectory of her career? Early, she might go into research, finance, hidden or administrative work, 8th house, Saturn and Jupiter. Later, she might go to advisory, consulting, policy making. I would put policy making more than law and education. Later in life, she might be a senior authority, institutional leadership, because Sun is in the 10th house. She might work later in life for government. That's Gabrielle's career path. It's a beautiful career path. Understand that some of the charts that I will be covering here as a generic charts for case study are of course Gen Z, but I'm taking some charts from the older ones which I had already made for Nakshatra Pada series. So you might even correlate that. This is the same Gabrielle whose chart I had covered in Natal to Navamsha Nakshatra Pada series. Some of them I shall cover more here. We need more kind of charts, more combinations to really get this, isn't it? Alright, take care and study more. Take screenshots. If you're on my podcast directory, come here, take screenshots and then do your studies. Alright, take care. Have a good day.